You know what? Y'all hold up just a second. You know, sometimes we forget. Man, how many of y'all just had fun just kicking it up? Some of y'all out of breath. You need to get in shape. Look at here. Look at here. I want to thank all you musicians. You guys put in a lot of hard hours. Nobody sees. Sometimes we hear you on Wednesday night, but we don't see it. Choir, thank you for the whole Advent of just bringing that what we're focused on each Sunday. You've brought it. And today you brought that spirit of joy. And how many of y'all would just thank God for what the choir does? Amen. What these musicians do. And I just want to thank you. Sometimes part of joy is having a spirit of thanks. And Pastor Keith, thank you for leading us. Praise the Lord. Well, pray with me. Lord, I pray right now that the indwelling spirit of joy that's in this house would leak out of our lives into some other lives. And we might understand today beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are God. You are God with us. You are God that wants to touch and change our lives. And so, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Amen. How many of y'all are just thankful for who Jesus is? Well, we start here. Joy is a reality. Hey. If you're visiting with us today, and I saw several of you are, man, we're glad that you're here. And you know what? I want you to know that it's okay. It's okay to get excited about what God's doing in your life. That's okay. Sometimes people look around and go, man, this is kind of strange. And I think the reason that people think it's kind of strange is I want you to know this Christmas season that you must decide and you must separate the difference between being a religious person and a person who's joined in relationship with the living God. Those are two different things. Sometimes I miss the joy of the Lord because we miss Jesus. In fact, I think some of us, the hardest group in the world to see Jesus is those that tend to church regularly. Because you know what? They want to see everything else but who? And they get called in all the trap. Watch this. It's not about the shepherds. It's not about the wise men. It's not about the manger. It's not about Mary. It's not about Joseph. When you really want to talk joy, you got to get down to the baby at the manger. It's about Jesus. Because you see, in Jesus, check this out, Emmanuel, God with us. Which really pushes it this. God with us, God in us, and I can go on. You see how it gets in you? The joy of the Lord's got to what? Ah! Get in you. Can y'all get that ah? How many of y'all know there's something vibrating inside of you called the power of the Holy Spirit? The joy of the Lord gets in you. Now when the joy of the Lord gets in you, guess what? Life opens up to you. What do you think? It opens up to you. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus is real? And I want to start here. Here's the thing I want to rejoice at. And we're going to rejoice a little bit today. I'm going to go to three different places in the Bible, which is unusual for me. But there are three points of joy I want you to get today, okay? We're going to start with Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And here's the good news I want you to hear. Everybody's qualified to be loved by God. We're getting there, Hillview, but I'm going to tell you every Sunday. I'm going to tell you every Sunday. Everybody's qualified. Everybody's qualified to be loved by God. Because a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people, their religion doesn't allow them to love everybody. It really doesn't matter where you've been. It matters that you need to know that God wants to be with you. That's a huge difference, isn't there? Now, I'm going to talk about don't lose your joy. And sometimes you've got to rediscover what you have. Let me take you to Christmas's past for just a moment. How many of y'all have ever lost your joy of Christmas because you didn't get what you wanted? Come on, be honest. I mean, you're like, how many of y'all ever had something like in your life you were totally, absolutely focused on? You had to have it for Christmas. For me, I can still remember it. Hey, when I was about your age, guess what I wanted? A motorcycle. I wanted one so bad all my life. I wanted the motorcycle. Some of y'all have heard my motorcycle trauma. And I wanted a motorcycle so bad that guess what? That motorcycle would take away some of my joy for Christmas. Because I'd look under the tree, guess what? No motorcycle. Then I thought maybe Santa Claus had pulled one of those garage tricks. Ho, 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 we put it somewhere else. But it was another one of those, you know, you'll shoot your eye out deals. You know what I'm talking about? And so I went in the garage and guess what? No motorcycle. Now, let me tell you what happened here, brother. I would miss what I had been given because I was always looking at what I thought I wanted. Does that sound familiar? Any of y'all ever lost joy because you just couldn't? I had that experience. It's rediscovering that God's given us a whole lot. That's what I want to tell you today. Now, when you go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, what you're going to find is Nehemiah and the people of Israel, they have rediscovered the law of God. And the law of God is a blessing to you. What do you think? Man, the joy of Christmas is rediscovered. How many of y'all ever found something you lost? Isn't that great? This happened to me this week. This time last week, I it was a Sunday, and I woke up on Monday, and I was looking for my leather dress jacket, and it could not be found anywhere. And this became an obsession in my life. How many of y'all ever have a personality like, if something in your little world order is out of order, that's the only thing you can think about until it gets back in order? Anybody else wired like that? Look, honey. There are thousands of people with their hands up right now. Jack, do you think about nothing else? Jack's wired that way. Look at him. He's got a goatee and everything. I'm telling you. Look, but I mean, I was obsessed over this thing. So I came into church. Anybody see my jacket? I went through the whole church, and I went through this. I backtracked. I even went back to Louisville. I was at another meeting in Louisville. I went back to the previous place I had spoken. I went to the motel we'd stayed in. No jacket. Now, I had asked Elizabeth to look for my jacket. How many of y'all are like this? If you're a husband and you lose something, your wife knows where it is. Huh? Or if you're dating, your girlfriend knows where it is. Listen, if you're dating somebody and they're already asking you, what did you do with this? You know where it is? It's going to get worse when you get married. Because Elizabeth knows where all my stuff is. And so I looked at her and said, what'd you do with my jacket? I said, I know you did something with it. She said, I hadn't worn your jacket. I hadn't seen your jacket. I got the same speech. I said, did you look in the closet? Well, yeah. Well, guess what? Last Sunday afternoon, I am digging through the closet. And I mean, my closet, where you put jackets. And I found it. And then I'm jumping around the house. I found my jacket. Elizabeth said, why in the world are you so excited about finding the jacket? I said, honey, it wasn't the jacket. It's the check I left in the pocket of that jacket that I was looking for. And then she rejoiced with me. See what I'm saying? Yeah. But now this is what's happened in Nehemiah. They have rediscovered the law of God. And here's what I want you to know. The law of God was meant to bless our lives. That's the Ten Commandments. And Nehemiah and them have rediscovered the law. And here's the first point of joy is this. You will find joy if you stay Jesus-centered. If you'll center your life on Christ. And you say, well, I go to church. I didn't ask you to go to church. I asked you to center your life on Jesus. That's a huge difference. You know, we got a lot of people that attend church on a regular basis. Man, they never find a full and abundant life because they're never centered on Jesus. You can sit here for an hour and 15 minutes and not get blessed. You know, there's a lot of people that sit through stuff that don't believe it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got to really embrace this to find the joy of Christmas. Well, Nehemiah and the scribe Ezra has found the law of God. And look at what happens here. They have discovered what God wanted. When they discovered what God wanted, they realized they could be blessed. How many of y'all realize you can find it again? They realize you could be blessed. Well, look what happens here. It's amazing. They decide when they line up with God and become God-centered, the response to that is joy. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not be weeping as you listen to the words of the law. Instead, this ought to be your response. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Amen. Now, if there's one scripture the Baptist Church has fulfilled, we have followed that faithfully. With passion and commitment. Let me tell you what. If we were to testify like we eat, we would already be up in heaven. He'd have called the rapture. Everybody be saved. We can eat. We believe in eating. In fact, my prayer is that we would believe in much as telling the story of Jesus as we do eating the choice food. Now watch it. They were having a celebration. I want you to know something. When God throws a party, He goes all out. You know what I mean? That's what always disappointed me with the church sometimes. How many of y'all ever went to Vacation Bible School and they give you those fake Oreos? Yeah. I just want y'all to know, we knew they were fake. You weren't tripping us. You older folks that were handing us those fake Oreos. Hey, this is a special treat. This is a cheap cookie. It looked like an Oreo. The stuffing didn't taste the same. And then later when I became a pastor, I knew why we had those cheap cookies out. Because you can buy them by the tractor trailer load for nothing. I mean, they don't cost all that anything. That's not what God said. He said, bring out the choice what? And the sweet drink. How many of y'all okay with a God to host a party? See, there's a lot of joy to God that people don't want me to bring up to you. Well, do you remember the story of the prodigal son when they came home? What was their response? Let's have a Bible study, right? No! The prodigal father did not welcome his prodigal son and say, now let's go learn the Bible. The prodigal father said, son, let me show you how much God loves you. He kissed him on the cheek and they had a party. And we know they weren't Baptists because they were dancing. Now go read it in the Bible, all you anti-dancers. They were dancing in there. How many? Can you guys live with a God that can dance? Now what do you do? Watch this. Even think about this. When you have just a zing of joy in your life, you get a little joy moment. Gary Dale, I've seen you do this. You know, we've had some joy moments together. We won't talk about all of them. But watch this. When you get it right, you know, when your wife actually tells you you did a good job, you know, that annual compliment from your wife you get, whatever. What's your response to that? Don't you give it a, huh? Yeah, yeah. How many of y'all, when you pass a test, yeah, you move a little bit. I like a surgeon that celebrates the surgery. I want a surgeon, especially if it's a brain surgeon, they operate on my brain. I want him to spike the scaffold at the end of the surgery. I want him to know he scored. Huh? This is kind of the response that Nehemiah's getting. They know he scored. God scored. This is the law of God. This is the promise to the people of Israel. This works. You want to live out joy in your life? Be centered in what God says. Now here's the good news. For us, the law of God is centered in Jesus. For He is the fulfillment of what? The law. So every one of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are centered in God's possibility of joy. So what we need to do? The joy of the Lord needs to be our what? Strength. How many of y'all realize God's going to love you and He's not going to quit loving you? Amen. How many of y'all realize God loves you even after you messed up? Amen. Now think about this. How many of y'all have some children around you? How many of y'all love them deeply? You love them. How many of you all have children? Now this might be a dangerous question to ask in this culture. I know some of you all think you do. How many of y'all have children that have never made a mistake? Yeah. And if you do have those children, we'll be seeing them in counseling about 18 years from now. Those are called neurotic people who are trying to live up to a platform of living that is impossible to live to. We make mistakes. We all make what? And God embraces us with His love. And see, that creates a sense of what? Joy. The joy of the Lord. You think about the first law. What's the first law? Have no other gods before what? How many of y'all have blown that one before? What's the number one God besides God in your life? Me. You're exactly right. How many of y'all usually wake up and ask, Lord, what do you want to do today? Or do you just say, this is what I'm going to do today, Lord, and I hope you bless it. See, they'll get honest with it. Sometimes a mixture, isn't it? Lord, I'll be obedient sometimes to you, but when it doesn't feel good, I'm going to do my own thing. That's honest, isn't it? But guess what God says? God says He wants to love us and bless us no matter what. The joy of the Lord is my what? Embrace that. Now, here's the second thing. We don't have joy because guess what? We miss the conflict. Does that sound weird? Guess what God calls us to do? Embrace what? Conflict. Go with me to James chapter 1, verse 2. Isn't that weird that I would tell you, don't miss the conflict? There's joy in conflict. How many of y'all believe there's joy in conflict? Last night I was watching this movie, Click. How many of y'all have seen Click? I've seen it before, but I was watching it again. I was watching Click. Click's got a powerful message in it. Click explains this scripture here. Click got this little remote control from an angel, and he can push the remote control, and he can advance his life. So anything that bothered him, guess what he did? He just skipped over it. Now, how many of y'all feel like on the surface that'd be a pretty good idea? Huh? Problem day to day, we're going to skip over. Well, guess what you do? You miss all the joy in life. How many of you all woke up today and you were a little hyper because it's supposed to be 70 degrees today in Bowling Green, Kentucky on December, whatever December it is today? What is the day? Yeah, the 17th of December. See, I know it's Sunday. That's the way I do my life. It's Sunday in Advent season. You ready? So it's the 17th of December, right? And it's 70 degrees. How many of y'all got a little bit of kick in your step because of that? Huh? I mean, I'm all for it. I'm a proponent of global warming. I'm all for the whole deal. Let's warm it up, more oceanfront. Okay? This is not a bad gig. No, I'm just joking with you, but watch, look at this. I was excited today because it was 70 degrees. Why am I excited today that it's 70 degrees? Because I live in Bowling Green. Nobody woke up today in Florida and went, wow, 70 degree Sunday. Because it's supposed to be 70 degrees in Florida. Huh? But it's supposed to be 20 here. And we're getting by with something, aren't we? Yeah, we are. That's the way we feel about it. So we get a little what? A little joy in our step. Now look what the Bible says. James says this, chapter 1, verse 2. He says, consider it pure joy, brethren, brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I want to tell you why. Here's the joy. Step into it. God will come through with it. Don't dodge your conflict. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all graduating shortly. Shorter than you think. You're going to have, guess what? And here's my graduation gift to you. There will be more trials. And then you get out of college, guess what there's going to be? More trials. And then there'll be the ultimate test. You'll get married. Now there's a final that won't go away. And then guess what? You keep loving and living, and guess what else you get? Yeah. You don't have to look for trials. You're providing them a bedroom. You don't have to look for trials. You're feeding them. What are those called? Yeah, embrace the blessing. Now watch this. You all know it's coming. How many of y'all going to get together? And you know part of Christmas, you get together with your family. How many of y'all get together with families? Okay, now part of Christmas where it gets a little crazy is, how many of y'all already know y'all got somebody crazy from your family go pester you already? You already know it. I mean, they've done it for 25 years. They're not going to stop. They're going to be chaos. You may be the person. And everybody's going to get together, and they just, I mean, how many of y'all got a couple of drunks that show up in your family? There you go. See, we all got our stuff. Look. And you know they're coming, and you already know they're going to be what? They're going to be drunk. They've been drunk for 25 Christmases in a row. And they're coming. Now, check it out. Now, watch this. A lot of us want to pretend it doesn't exist. We want to hope it goes away. We just don't want to deal with it. But guess what? We ought to be the joy of the Lord in that moment of opposition. See what I'm saying? Instead of running people away, we said, you know what? I got something better this Christmas. I got the joy of the Lord in my life. And I'm going to tell you, folks, this joy stuff's powerful. We can overcome that. That is a crisis. We over what? Come. You want to find joy? First step is, guess what? You got to center your life on Jesus. Second step, man, know that God will help you overcome. Make sense? Count it pure joy when trials come. Don't skip the hard times. And then here's the third thing. You ready? You ready? This is cool. You can remember this if you just know how to spell joy. How many of y'all know how to spell joy? Even I can spell joy. It's a three-letter word. J-O-Y. How many of y'all remember this one as a kid? Joy was explained. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And hey, that works. That's a good deal. That's a nice little acronym for you to remember. But guess what? I'm going to show it to you different. Jesus-centered. Know that through Jesus you will overcome. And then I think we all just need this reminder. Here's where our joy gets stolen a lot. Your life is important. How many of you just encounter things in life where the devil kind of uses them to tempt you to believe your existence is not important? That's very common, I find, at least in the pastoral care role of my life. People just feel insignificant. And that's absolutely not what life's about. Because guess what? If Jesus, who is God, took the trouble of being born in our likeness, dying for our salvation, rising again to show us there is another living dimension, don't you reckon our journey's pretty important? What do you think? Absolutely. So that leads me to this. You're going to overcome. And how in the world do you overcome? Place your faith in who? Jesus, crucified and resurrected, man, He always works. Jesus Christ. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 5. You ready? This is almost, this is incredibly amazing. Who is it that overcomes? I don't know about you all, but I want to show you something right now. I feel better when I win than when I lose. Now, how many of y'all are like this? Now, some of y'all are going to disagree with me severely right here, and I want to entitle you to be wrong. That's okay. I think winning is important. And I think that's been challenged in our culture. And I think we're so scared. In fact, I even heard this. Somebody wrote in a letter to the editor, not here in our city, but in another city, that they wanted to abolish the honor roll because their kids didn't make the honor roll and it made them feel bad when they were not on the honor roll and other kids that were their friends were on the honor roll. But since they could, it made them feel bad. Well, let me help you with this. Who cares? Who cares if they feel bad? Let me help you. Go to the second O. Sometimes you got to embrace the crisis. I didn't make the grade. I didn't do what it took. I didn't make it. There's a whole lot of people in America today living absolutely crummy lives because we are trying to excuse ourselves from our inadequacies instead of allowing God to reshape us with the hope of overcoming in victory. We are the land of excuses. Now, note this, we're the land of excuses and the land of depression. Do you think they correlate? What if we started being the land of overcoming? Do you think that would adjust the emotional content of who we are as a people? I'm going to overcome in Jesus. I'm going to center my life in Jesus. I'm going to quit looking at what I've done in the past. I'm going to start really focusing on what I can be in the present. I'm not going to excuse myself from my crisis. I'm going to embrace God in my crisis and let Him build me through these times. What would happen to our lives? Wow! The joy of the Lord would come through. Yeah? And what do you think? I believe in winning. When I coached Pee Wee Ball a long time ago, Pee Wee Ball, when Josh Stinson was a peewee, I coached peewee ball. Remember that, Josh? Josh, did I tell y'all it was about participation? No. I'm glad you remembered that. What did I tell you it's about? Being the best in what else? Winning! I said, this is a competitive sport. It has a scoreboard at the end of the field. The reason it has a scoreboard at the end of the field, in 48 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, somebody's going to do it a little bit better than the other team. So it's our job to learn how to get to the point where we can win and overcome. Now all the other coaches were going, this is about participation. And we've got this real group in our country that thinks if we just all hold hands together and sing Kumbaya, it's all going to be all right one day. It's not. What do we just, let's just sit around and just sing that Coca-Cola song that used to come out at Christmas, you know. If I could, if we do that, it's like, does it work? Just because we all agree doesn't bring joy in. Have you noticed that? Just because we all disagree doesn't mean the world's over with. There's this power of God that says, guess what? Through Jesus Christ, you and I get to do what? Overcome. I mean, that brings in some great joy. How many are glad to know that you're a victor? Already in Christ. You get to win. Now, boy, about six of you like winning. No, I love it when y'all clap the truth. That's really about how many people enjoy winning anymore. You see, we've lost the very fabric that made our nation. By the way, for those of you all that like to sponge off everybody else, if you don't have a crew of winners, you ain't going to have nothing to sponge off of. Somebody's got eventually what? Oh, don't be offended at sponging off. I sponge off Jesus all the time. You with me? You see, if Jesus hadn't won, you and I don't have any joy. If Jesus wasn't a victor, you and I don't have a message. If Jesus hadn't proclaimed the grace of the kingdom of God and freed every living human soul, you and I have no potential to go on and live a great life now and a better life later. You and I would not be living in the beauty that God has created. How many of y'all glad Jesus won? How many of y'all realize, amen, that'll bring some joy. And guess what? You can win too. 1 John 5 is to bring in a lot of joy. God expects you to overcome. Who is it that overcomes the world? It's a great question. Who makes it? Who in the world gets through this thing called life? He said, only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's pretty clear in Scripture, isn't it? It doesn't say some who believe there's a higher power. It doesn't say those who believe in existence of a consciousness beyond their own. It doesn't say those who have a God of blessing beyond their own personal self. It doesn't say those who can sing kumbaya in harmony. It says only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of what? God. And you say, well, is Jesus being judgmental? Absolutely not. Jesus is saying, I want you to believe in me. I want you to embrace me. I want you to love me because I already love you. And I want to give you ultimately what you've been looking for. A life full of life. A life full of what? Life. That's Jesus' message. All right, y'all get this today? You ready to do it this week? How many of y'all go tell it on a mountain? Not in the sanctuary. We ought to sing that song for real. Go tell it in the sanctuary. Go tell it in the Bible study room. How about go tell it in the world? Because guess what? Here's what I know about the joy of Jesus. You ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me bring you the South Central Kentucky version of that. God saw everybody hanging out. All of them, a bunch of them. And God said all the bunch of people that He made, if they would believe His boy, named Jesus, was the one that would save them, they wouldn't have to die, and they'd get to go ahead and live in heaven, and that'd be a really good deal. Is that clear enough? Amen. It looks like to me that God loves us all. What do you think, church? So go embrace the joy of the Lord this week. What do you think? And let God speak to you in some real ways, all right? Let's stand together. Pray with me. You got an opportunity to go to heaven today. Anybody excited about that? Opportunity to go to heaven today? Excited about that? Good stuff right here today live. Right here today live. All right. Hear it. Feel it. Experience it. Did you know today that you can allow Jesus to come into your life? You say, how do I do that, Rev? First of all, you got to realize you're a sinner. You haven't done what God's asked you to do. Now here's the good news. God wants to be where? In your life. He wants to be there. And so what if you were to ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my sin. You reckon He'd do that? Yeah. See, is it that simple? Yeah. Now, it gets real creative after that, but yeah, that's the initial stage. Maybe today you need to come and say, Lord, I've been reminded of what I've lost. I am in You. I am loved by You. Why am I acting so miserable when I'm so blessed? Maybe you need to come today and you need to state to God through baptism, God, I do believe. I know You're in me. I love You. You're real. And I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to straighten that up. Let's straighten that up. I'm going to confess my faith in baptism. Maybe you just need to come today and say, thank You, God. How many of y'all could just come today and say, thank You, God. I live a blessed life. I really do. I live a blessed life. difficult but blessed. I get to pastor you guys. That's a lot of fun. And we go through a lot of journeys. And God blesses us in all of them. So I want to pray right now. And this is just your altar. It's our altar together. What can happen if you let God in your life? Boy, sometimes I wish we'd just let it go and let people just stand up and say, man, this is what's happened to me since Jesus came into my life. This is what I used to be like 10 years ago. This is the life I'm living now. I'm going to tell you this much. If you let Christ in your life, you'll say this, I wish I'd have done it sooner. Because it is a great life. It's a great life. Well, let's pray. And those of you all that believe, you pray with me that whoever needs to receive Jesus would receive Jesus. Whoever needs to get obedient and get baptized would get obedient and be baptized. Those who need to come and pray, just come and pray. You may need to come and pray. Let's let God have this moment. Lord, for the persons that you brought here today that need your grace, may they just listen to you. Know you love them. Know you won't leave them. And maybe today they've heard that you are a God of incredible joy and you would just love to forgive them. So may they receive your forgiveness, knowing that you died on a cross for them, you've risen in them, and the joy that you have for them is for real. Spirit, I pray that you would release that today. Father, as those that need to be baptized, they would come and be baptized today. They'd get real about that issue. And Lord, for some of us that during the week, we just lose our way and so much other stuff, that you would remind us that your holiness is more about what you'll do in our lives than even how we respond. Lord, may we be embraced and captivated by your love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, may we come and experience Him. Just take a moment. It may be at the altar. It may be at your seat. And just let God touch you in this moment. He's been talking to us all service. The altar's open right now. Come on, church, as we pray together, as we love one another, as Jesus speaks to us, as people come and are received to be baptized, received into the kingdom of God, you come and let God touch your life. Come on, church. Altar's open. Open for you.